So we are going to, we've been talking about, we started with the kind of keynote thing at the beginning where we talked about what are all the fundamental technologies we'll be covering today. And then Mark did a great overview of what's in Visual Studio 2013 and latest release of ASP.NET, especially focusing on the one ASP.NET feature. So what I'm going to be doing is showing, I'm going to build an application and deploy it all in 1 hour, and it's actually going to add in a little functionality to it as we go. This is where we are on the roadmap. Break coming up in case you need one. All right, so I'm going to be using MVC for this. Now, as Mark pointed out, we've broken down the walls between MVC, web forms, et cetera, so mix and match and stuff. But I do want to talk about the MVC pattern for people that are not familiar with it. So if you step back, you know, historically, a lot of web frameworks were built on a file-based model. So you would do a request to default.php or index.aspx or something like that, right? So the URL would point to a file, and that file would execute, and it would then return to the user. So it was very obvious what code mapped to what URL. With MVC, you have kind of a different thing where we're not requesting against a file, we're requesting against a method in a class, right? So a request comes in to a controller. A controller is nothing to be scared of, it's just a class. It's just a simple class, and it has a bunch of methods called action methods. So the controller is going to do some stuff. That is up to you, that's your logic that you're gonna write. And then it's going to, the output of the controller is a model. Okay. Now, the model is just kind of the result. So the controller does some work. So we say, go get me a list of people, and it says, done, here's your list of people. Or you say, create an order, good, here's your order summary, right? So that model is just the result of the controller doing its work. But right now, it's just some data. We need to display it to the user. So that model is passed to the view. And the view's only job is to take data that's passed to it and turn it into something human readable. So it's a templating system, and it just plugs in that data into some HTML. Make sense? Now notice that that arrow is one way, and that's important. The view is not reaching back into the controller. So this separation of concerns means you don't have to worry about spaghetti code or somebody making a quick hack. Oh shoot, this has to be in production, let's just tweak around here. It really kind of separates things out, so it really kind of encourages this smooth, clean separation of code. So that view has one job, take some data, make it pretty, okay? And then it passes that response out to the user. So this is important to think through this flow. When I was learning MVC, I saw a lot of things where they had three boxes and arrows going between them. But I think this flow kind of gives you more of a general idea of what's really happening in MVC. So keep this in mind if it's new to you, and we'll go and build some stuff. So I'm going to hop over to this. I'm going to close this. And we're going to create a new application. Remember, as Mark pointed out, that we just have one type of ASP.NET application. So I'm going to create this Geek Quiz. And now, again, as Mark showed you, that this is, you know, this is one ASP.NET. So I can start with a mostly MVC. I could start with empty, completely empty site and build everything up myself. Or if the site is kind of mostly MVC, then there's some advantage to picking a template that kind of starts me off with some little more setup for MVC, right? But I'm not locked into it. So for this one, I'm gonna pick MVC, but I'm also going to select libraries for web API. And then I'll hit okay. Now, what it's doing at this point, remember I talked about NuGet earlier. So you'll notice down in the bottom, actually it flashed by too fast, but it was adding a bunch of NuGet packages to the application. So part of the way that these projects work, now a project file is really mostly a reference that says, go get all these NuGet packages. And there's an MVC NuGet package that brings in the functionality of MVC. There's a web API NuGet package, right? And there's also jQuery and all that stuff. Now, here's a really cool feature. I think Mark might have pointed this out, but it's really worth being familiar with, is this Get Started page. So this the idea with this, it's a readme.html page, and it's customized towards what you just built. So since I built a mostly MVC site, you'll notice here it says get started with MVC, and it points me to things that are specific to MVC, more advanced information about it. So two great things about this. It's really good information, and you can delete it, right? So those are both good things. It gets you started. It helps tell you stuff you need to know, but it's just an HTML file. So in the past, we used to monkey with your site and put a bunch of CSS and images in just to make our Hello World page look nice. And now what we've done, actually, the CSS to make this README look good is actually inside the page. It's just inline styles in there. All right, so you can just go ahead and delete that. Now, I'm going to hop into the, I'm going to tour through the solution here. So these folders actually have a lot of meaning, the folder names and the structure of the site. And, you know, in some other applications, you can just throw folders and organize things how you kind of want. And you might do that because they map to the URL. What you'll notice here is that we have a controllers folder, we have a views folder, and we have a models folder. So this helps you to kind of keep things organized. If you're looking for a controller, you're going to look in the controllers folder, right? So when we start the application, I actually have two controllers to start with. I have a home controller, and that's kind of going to be the default. Now, how do I know that's the default? That takes us to routing. So we're going to take a look real quick at routing. And routing is a very important fundamental thing that you need to know about, and then you don't have to worry about it too much, because we create a default route for you that's going to work most of the time. So, and you can customize it then if you need to. But what routing does is that process of taking an incoming URL and mapping it to that controller action, right? Remember, a controller action is a function. It's a method in your controller class. And so we need some logic that says when this URL comes in, when the user requests a certain URL, run this method. So this says two important things. One, this tells us the default pattern we're going to look for. So we're going to look for something slash something slash something. And we're going to map the first to controller, the second to the action, and the third to the ID. So if I request, you know, store by 5, it's going to go to the store controller, the by action method, and then it's going to pass in an ID of 5. I just bought product number 5. I hope it's good. Okay? Now, we have some defaults as well. So our default controller is home, our default action is index, and our default ID is optional, meaning we'll work with, if you don't want to pass in an ID, that's okay, we're not going to enforce it. And then you can later, if you say this thing requires an ID, you can do that. Okay? So if I browse to the home page of this site, which controller action are we gonna get? I'm just making somebody talk. You can do it. Home index. Home index. Perfect. All right, let's do it. So we're gonna hop over there. That would have been awkward if just nobody talked. They just stared me down. Okay, so here we go. This is the home controller index method, right? This is very simple. This index method is just Hello World page, and so it actually isn't even going to, it's got no data to pass over. So it's just going to return a view. Now, let's take a look in the views folder, and let's see if we can guess which view it should execute, because we've already got some views there. So if you were just being reasonable, and you looked at this list of views, you could probably find which one made sense, right? If we're looking for a view matching with the home index, well, we'd look in the home folder, and then we'd look at the index action, right? That's just kind of a convention that makes sense. So that's exactly what MVC does. It's got this logic built in. It says, fine, you can override it. You can tell me exactly which view to return. But if you don't tell me, I'm going to assume it's the same name as the controller, and it's the same name as the action. Controller designates the folder, and action designates the view name, right? So simple enough. And then if we look at this model, or the view, remember the view's job is to display what's passed to it. Now, in this case, we're not even passing any data to it. If we wanted to, the view has this templating system. This is called Razor, and I could go in and put some code. So the idea is this at sign designates that I'm about to write some code. So I could say system.datetime.now, and we'll just give it to, I don't know, to local time, right? All right, so I should, if I run this, I should get a home page of the site, and somewhere in there it should tell me the time. So this is spinning up. Again, this is using Bootstrap. If, in case it wasn't clear, all of our new templates are all using that very, you know, the same thing, the same CSS and all that. So if I zoom in here, we've got this, and we've also got, you know, we got the time. So that's a very, very simple case. Now we're going to make it slightly more complex, and then we're going to actually write some code against a model. Okay? So let's go in back into our home controller, and we have this about. So the about is taking it up just a little bit more, and it's returning some data. So here we've got this viewbag.message, and it says your application description. And if we want to go to this view, well, hold on a second. I could go and click through, and I could say, I guess it's going to be in the home controller, and it's the about CSHTML. But Visual Studio can figure that out for me, hopefully. And yes, it can. So I click Go to View, right? So that pops over here. And this shows this viewbag.message is being output as an H3. So let's just play with that for a second. I'm going to include something else in this viewbag. Now, the viewbag is the very simplest kind of model you can use. It's actually just kind of a, it's a very simple like collection. You can just throw anything you want into it. And normally, we'll see in a second, we're going to be creating this geek quiz and we're going to use more strongly typed models. But for just kind of following the process through here, I'm going to say viewbag.Vancouver. And it's a dynamic expression, so I could call it whatever I want. Vancouver equals awesome. Indeed you are.
Sorry,
okay. Yes, I am. All right, so now if I go over to this about, and I'm going to, in addition to all this other stuff, I will just, I'll replace this paragraph with, well, it's just at viewbag, right? Viewbag.Vancouver. So what we should hope to see is, if we browse to the about page, we should see that awesome bit in there. And so actually I'm going to go, well, there we are. Yep. Okay. So I'm going through this a little fast. I've only got an hour. But we've seen routing. Routing is that process of mapping URLs to controller actions. We've seen some very basic controllers. And then those controllers are rendering views. And the views, again, very lightweight templates. And all they do is take information passed to them and display it in HTML. If you see a view that's got a bunch of logic in it, you should slap somebody. You find, hopefully, the responsible party, right? But don't just go into a rage and start slapping everybody. But you know, the idea is that views are not supposed to be running a lot of logic. They take data and they display that data. So now, I guess I should go on to my next slide, which is really just going to say Entity Framework Code First. Here we're going to be using Entity Framework Code First. We'll create some models and we'll persist those to the database. So I'm going to right-click on models. And models, we saw controllers are pretty simple. Actually, let's draw back a second. Controllers are a class, but they do inherit from the controller-based class. All right? And models are .cshtml files, and they're kind of a template file. Models are just a class. It's a C# or VB.NET class. That's all it is. There's nothing special about it. And in fact, it doesn't even have to live in this project. I could put my models in another assembly and include that assembly in this project, and it would work just fine. All right? So I'm right-clicking on this, and I say Add Class. And I'm going to add in a Trivia Question class. All right, so we've got this simple class, and all it's going to hold in it, you can put more logic in it, but a lot of the time, these model classes are just simple data transfer objects. And there's different schools of thought. Some people put a lot of validation logic or like domain-driven design, put kind of more of that kind of flavor into it. But really, all that's required at the basic level is just a class with some properties. All right. Now, I am going to, in the interest of time, copy in the trivia question properties, and there's only a few of them. So let's take a look through. We've got an ID, and this is important. This ID is what is going to be persisted. So this class is going to map to a database table. And Entity Framework Code First, when we run this, is going to create that table, and it's going to call that table. Any guesses? Trivia question. All right, and it is going to need an ID, a primary key. And so it's going to look for trivia question ID or ID. If it finds those, it's going to say, I'm assuming this is your primary key. If not, I can designate another field. I can say, no, I want this field to be my primary key. And you do that using attributes, and I'll show you that in a second. Next, we've got a title. So it's a string. And it's required. So if I'm going to ask a question, I have to actually ask something, and so that's what this title is. So we're going to require that. And then finally, if we're asking a trivia, it's a trivia quiz, and we want to have a list of answers, and so that's what my trivia option class is. You see these red squiggles here? I need to bring in some references. And this is a key thing here. This is actually bringing in system.componentModel.data annotations. So here we're using, this is a system class. This isn't MVC specific. So you can reuse classes you've got that have other data annotations. You can bring those in as well. Now this trivia option, we're going to go ahead and create that. So generate class for trivia option. And let's hop on over there. So this by default, it creates this as not public. I'm going to create it as public. And then I need to bring in some properties for this one. So these are the answers to those questions. So I'm just going to drop these in as well. This one's got a little bit more to it, but hopefully, by now we've seen some stuff that this is looking less scary. First of all, I want to show you the kind of code that you'd use to designate something as an ID. So we've already got this ID is, it does follow the convention, but if I wanted to say this is the key and I want to use an identity, like mark it as an identity, I can do that using an attribute. So let's resolve these real quick. So I'm hitting control dot to bring this up and then enter. Then trivia question. We actually have two things that reference a trivia question. So we want to be able to look up the actual ID. So we have the question ID, and we mark that as a foreign key. And then we want to be able to reference what that value is. So we mark this as virtual, so it's lazy loaded. Now again, I know I'm kind of going through pretty quick. This is Entity Framework Code First, and this is a method for describing our data in a way that we can automatically create and persist it to the database. All right? Now we need to mark a few more. We need to bring in a few more things. So I'm going to mark, pull that in. So required, again, the title is required. But correct is not required. Only one thing is going to be correct. Now I'm going to build this. And that's good. I like to build all the time. I don't know if you like to. I like to build all the time just in case. But it's also important to build before you go to the next step, which is creating controllers. And the reason is we're going to use scaffolding. And scaffolding works by actually inspecting our objects, our classes, and looking for models. And if I try and scaffold and I haven't built yet, then that assembly doesn't exist, et cetera. So it's best if you actually do build first. I'm only mentioning that because you're going to try this. You're going to create a model, and then you're going to scaffold, and you go, why isn't it working? And it'll tell you, but I want to save you that pain. So I'm going to say right-click and add a controller. Now, this is this new kind of part of this OneASP.NET scaffolding experience, right? So what's cool here is this scaffolding includes MVC and Web API. And you'll notice a cool thing down at the bottom. We have Web API OData controller, in case you want to be able to query using OData syntax against a Web API controller. That's later. And also, this box we're hoping is going to fill up over time, including web forms and a lot of other neat things. So I'm going to create a Get out of that? Okay. MVC5 controller with views using Entity Framework. So this is going to create one controller, and it's going to create all the associated views for create, read, update, delete, and list. So it's going to create all those for me. And then it's going to hook this up with using Entity Framework so that all those create, read, update, delete, and list actually are hooked up to live data in the database. So now I'm going to call this the trivia question controller. Actually, just question. I'll zoom in here. Is this helpful when I zoom in? It's kind of a... So I'm going to mark that as async, and then I do need to zoom out there to make that fit. So I'm going to map this to trivia question, and then I need a data context. That data context is this mapping between our model classes and the persistence to the database. So I hit new context, and I can leave... I'll call this trivia context. Right, and then I hit add. And with that, I'm done. So now when I hit add, it's going to go through, and it's going to create, and did I hit add? I have to actually hit the button, apparently. So it's going to create one controller and multiple views. Now, if you think through, this is a good thought exercise on why it's doing multiple views and one controller. One controller is a class, and that class has multiple actions. Those actions are the methods, the controller action methods. But each of those action methods has a different view, and those views are different templates, so different CSHTML files. All right? So now if we look at this, if you were watching before when we when Mark was creating some of these, this is a scaffolded controller. And the idea with scaffolding is it's going to create you some code that is hopefully useful to you, but then it's your code. So you can delete, change, whatever you want to with it. Some people will use scaffolding only to get their project up and running, to get some data in the database, and then they'll create a new controller and work off of it. However, this is pretty good quality code. It's been reviewed by the ASP.NET team. It's been performance and security tested. So it's pretty good. For instance, it's disposable, and so it actually disposes objects at the end and stuff like that. So now, if I want to get a list of questions, I go to the question controller, so my URL would be /question, and then if I just want to get the index, well, the index is the default, so if I browse to /question, I should get a list of all the questions that are in our database. And in order to do that, this code is actually pretty simple. So we say, it's made a little bit more complex, honestly, by making it async. So maybe I'll make the next one not async just to make it more clear. But we return a view, and that view needs some data. It needs a model. And this model's a little more complex than we want to just throw in a view bag. It's not just like a little line of text. It's a list of questions. And those questions have IDs and titles and all that kind of stuff. So what we do here is we say DB, and that's our database. This is our context. So we tell our context to get me a list of the trivia questions. And then here we call to list async. So this turns it into an actual list, but it still marks it as async controller. So at async, the important thing to know about async is it makes everything so it doesn't block. And this is really about preserving your server resources. So if you've got tons of people hitting this page, and they're all getting lists, and they're all querying against the database, if you mark it async, that allows the runtime to say, okay, I know this is happening, I'm just going to kind of put a marker here, and then I'm going to stop using server resources for that, and I'll be able to pick it up when it's done. So we just kind of make a note of it, and then we move those thread resources and all those other resources to doing more work, and then all of a sudden it says, hey, I got that data for you, and we say, good, wake up and pass this on. Right. So the real kind of thing about async is not that it makes your server crazy fast because async is somehow magically fast. It's more about it allows the server to manage the resources better. All right. So here we've got our index, and I also, while we're at it, let's scaffold out a trivia option. So here we're going to make it so that we can create questions and add options to them. So that, you know, potential answers to them. So again, I'm going to say add controller. And then it's also going to be an MVC5 controller fuse. So I'll call this option controller. You can call this whatever you want, right? That name's not magical. And then I'm mapping this to trivia option. And this time through, I don't need to create a context. We've already got one. So we'll look at that context in a second. What's neat about that is when it creates these contexts, it actually looks at our data model, and because we had marked our trivia question as having as foreign keyed to options, that context mapped those together. Right? So it created a DB set, which is just a fancy collection class that knows how to get and save data. That's all it is. So it creates this DB set. So in our classes then, in our controllers, when we create a new instance of the trivia context, and we say trivia context dot, you know, trivia options, then it will say, go get them. Now, I promised I wasn't going to mark it async, and then I did it. I'm sorry about that. But this is the same thing. This just goes, and it gets things, and it returns them, right? So there are several different options or different methods in here by default. And we've got, I guess, enough time to go through those. So we have index. And index is going to get me a list of all the things. And then get passed in an ID is going to return just one thing. So here we say it's going to take in an ID. So remember we had an optional parameter if we had controller/action/ID. So this says, well, we have an optional ID. If you pass me in an ID, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to try and look it up. So here we say db.triviaquestions.findAsync. So it takes that ID, and it goes and looks it up in the database. Now, if it finds it, if it doesn't find it, it's going to return a not found. So this is using HTTP status codes. It's going to say not found. that... Not, excuse me, not found is going to be wrapped up in a nice error message saying not found. But if we say, if we do get that back, that's our model. Remember, our model is just our data transfer object that we pass to our view. So we say return view. Now remember, we can right click on this and say go to view. So this is our index for, or details, excuse me, for one item. So I'm going to expect to be passed one trivia option, and then I need to display it out. Now, this is our first view we've seen where we're actually writing out data on the screen. And I could do something as simple as I could say model.title. I could just say at model.title. I could put that in. But instead, we're using what's called an HTML helper, which is included in MVC. And the reason is we can use display names for them, and that allows us to use attributes to format or change how those things are written. So you don't have to worry about this too much right now, but it's a good flexibility thing to have. It's a level of abstraction so that your templating in your view just says, take my model and return it and write it out the way I'm supposed to write it out. And then in our model, we can attribute it later and say, format it this way, or even localize it or something. So enough talking, let's actually run this. So what we should expect to see is a home controller that we haven't changed. That is not what I wanted to see.
That's not what you want to see.
It's totally not what I wanted to see. I should see a home controller, and then I should be able to go to a question and not see an error. Come on, baby. Okay, so what it's doing right now is this is our first reference to trivia or to that trivia context. So when trivia context spins up and we say db context dot trivia question, then it says, I am a DB set and my name is trivia option, but I don't have a trivia option table. So time to create it. So then it inspects that trivia question model and it creates a table that matches. So an integer, well, that's numeric. String, well, that's a varchar. So it just kind of creates a table that matches that data structure. All right. So now we can go into this, and we can say create new. And create new is, all I can say about my question is, what is my question? So I like the question, who shot first? And then maybe you'll guess where I'm going with this. So if I go to option, My option controller is foreign keyed to this question. So if I create a new option, it lets me pick my question. Now, here's a key thing. See this question ID? That is ugly. This dropdown shouldn't say question ID. But that's all the Entity Framework and MVC can do, is they can say, well, here's your name of your, you know, here's the field name. It was question ID, so that's what I'm going to display. But that's where that thing that I just pointed out to you with those helpers, those HTML helpers, comes in handy, because then I can go into there and I can say, I want you to use a display attribute, and instead of display question ID, I could say question. Or I could say, quotes, enter your question here, right? Or I could translate it into German, right? I can do any of those things. So that gives me that abstraction. So I'm going to say, who shot first? And of course, the right answer is Han Solo. So I'm going to mark that as correct. And then I'm going to put in an incorrect, who shot first is definitely not Greedo. Okay, so what we've seen there, this is actually live data that's saved in our database. All right, so it's not, you know, blow away rocket science magic, but it is pretty cool. We created some model classes, we scaffolded out controllers and views, and then we're able to create, read, update, delete that information. And since this is scaffolded, it took us 2 seconds to create it, so we could go in and delete that controller and delete the view, and we're done. We're happy. Or we could say, I would like to continue building on with this and build my entire application using these controllers and views. So that's up to you. But it generates that code. So, you know, some worries I had when I was first learning MVC is, that looks like a lot of code. I've got to write all this controller stuff. When I used to just, you know, drop a control on and respond to events, I didn't have to write so much code. And that's true, but we generate a lot of that code for you. So, you know, it can get you started without a whole lot of work. So, now we've got some code that's running locally, and I think we should call it good. But, I'm going to press on. I'm going to risk danger and defeat by deploying it. So, an important thing about what I'm showing you, I am deploying to Windows Azure because it's incredibly awesome, and because it's free for me to deploy to a website. But, what I'm showing you is web deploy, and this works for deploying to IIS. So if you're deploying to an IIS server, get familiar with web deploy because it's really cool. It's a great way to manage your deployments. FTP deployment is awful and terrible, and I never want to do it again. So what I'm going to do is right-click on Geek Quiz and say publish. So now I can say import, and this is a new feature here. This is associated with my Windows Azure account. So now I can say new. This is actually going out to Windows Azure, and it's creating a new Windows Azure website for me. So we'll call this, you know, Vancouver Geek Quiz. And I'm going to create it not in Western Europe. I think we'll go with West US today. And I don't have a database, and I really kind of need a database. So I'm just going to create one. So I'll create a new server. And my username is going to be, I don't know, Vancouver user. And my password is going to be a total secret that I will forget. All right. And they totally don't match. That's great. All right. The first one. All right, so now create. So what this is doing is actually going out to Azure, and it's creating a database and a website for me, and it's connecting the two of those together, and then it's getting the credentials for those and passing them back down to me in Visual Studio without me leaving Visual Studio at all, right? So this is really pretty slick. What's even cooler to think about is probably in, you know, your work, or if you go out and buy some shared hosting or something, it takes a little more than 30 seconds to do that, right? And so this is really cool that it's actually gone out, set all that up for me. It's downloaded those published settings. So this includes all my kind of login stuff, which server I'm on. This is my live production URL right here, vancouvergeekquiz.azurewebsites.net, not published yet. And I hit validate connection just to make sure that it's actually going to work for me. And then I hit next. So my next step, It's in release mode. There's another important step here, which I'm just going to forget. Oops, I accidentally forgot it. We'll come back to that later. Now, if I hit preview changes, this is a key feature, and I'm going to show this again in a second. What this does is it shows me what files are different between my local application and what's deployed. So this is really cool because the next time I deploy, well, the first time I deploy, all these files need to be deployed. But next time I deploy, only the change files need to be deployed, and so it's a lot more efficient and faster, right? So now I say, yep, that all looks good to me. I want to deploy all these files, and I hit publish. So now what it's doing is it's copying all those things up. It's setting the permissions and stuff for those. And in a second, it pops up the page, and I can go through and show off how amazing it is. So again, this this publishing feature is great because that I'm showing you, this web publish feature, this also works with any IIS, and so it's a really handy thing to know about, something that you can use internally in, in your work or whatever. So, deploying away. So again, the first time it deploys, it's got to copy up all these DLLs, so there's a little bit more to be done there. Any questions while we're doing this? Yes.
What kind of security features are in place when you publish? Like, is there encryption and stuff going on?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know the exact, that's a great question. I'll look up the exact specifics. I do know, like, it does encrypt passwords. I'm assuming it's publishing over SSL, but I'll look up the exact information.
Okay, thanks.
Great question. All right. So it's copying away. And right now, it's entityframework.dll that's being copied up. And does anyone know, go ahead.
Sorry, I had one more question. I tried WebDeploy a few weeks ago, and I ran into an issue where it seems to have deployed the project under a slightly different permission, and thus I couldn't do things like file upload as a result. Is that a known issue, or is it a...
I need to know specifics. I know generally things that, like when I go through here and deploy, I'm able to FTP up, so it might... I'm not sure exactly what the issue would be. Was it a standard like file new project kind of thing, or was it?
Yeah, it's a brand new project.
Okay.
It might have been the specific company that was hosting it, but I looked it up and it seems that other people are having issues with other scenarios as well with web deploy.
Okay. All right. So let me see. This has taken longer than I would expect. Last night when I did this, it took roughly 30 seconds. So it's just that one file that's copying up. Does anyone know what step I skipped over there, kind of intentionally? Anyone pick that up? I did not select my database. So there's a database connection string setting where I can mark to say this is where trivia connection or trivia context is hooked to, and this is where how to hook those two together. And I didn't do that. So when we first run it, we're going to get an error. And then I'll show you that differential publish. So I'm wondering, I don't know if I ought to cancel this or what. This is it's taking quite a bit longer than I expected. That's... possible, yeah.
So, John, I think the reason that the network's definitely quite a bit
slower
than it was
okay.
This morning.
All right.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yes.
So you did ask it to create a new database earlier when you were going through the Azure setup, right?
I did create a database, but then there's a step in the deploy settings where you say, this is the connection string I would like to use, right? So I could create... a database, but I still, it gives me the option to select which connection string. And so I'll show you on that dialog. It actually kind of says, hey, you need to do this, and I just intentionally skipped over it. I actually am doing that because I one time accidentally didn't do it, and it was kind of, I think it's kind of a good instructive thing to see. So, I wonder if I've got one.
I'll try maybe canceling it.
Cancel and redo? Okay.
Maybe that connection was killed.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so we'll just get you to come up. All right, sweet.
Okay.
Another question? Go ahead.
While you're doing this, can I ask a question? Is it possible to make URL more secure? Like, because we clearly see ID in this. Like, not every site is advisable to show ID of the object.
Sure. Like, yeah. So yes, you definitely can. Now, I would say most of the time the ID is supposed to be meaningless, meaning, you know, it doesn't give away any information about your application or about the user or anything. However, you definitely can. So those routes, you have full control over what those mean. Your route could say, could be a GUID or could be a product name. And then internally, all you need to do is map that. So you change your route and you would say, like, the ID that you take in, instead you would say, go look this up using this other query. Does that make sense?
Not quite. Like, even if we have like auto number, for example, like an identity thing, which means nothing, as soon as I capture this URL, mm-hmm. I can always go directly to this product bypassing all the other stuff on the website, which may be not advisable.
Okay. So, yes, you can use authentication to require login. But, you know, really the idea of URLs on the web is anything that can be accessed with a GET request, like that's the idea of it. That's how search engine optimization works. That's how all these things work. So if you want to, now you can put in custom logic in there where you can say if someone goes to this URL, first check something else. You can use what's called an action filter in MVC that says, run this check before this action method's run. But generally, I think that the idea with URL design is that if a publicly accessible URL should be, if you hit that URL multiple times, it should give you the same result. All right. So let's check this out. So that was weird. It deployed in like instantly the second time through. So now if I go to question. Remember, I screwed up my database, and so it's going to time out trying to connect to the database because I didn't give it the connection string. So I'm going to cancel that, and instead I'm going to go in and publish again, and this time when I publish, I can go back to any step along the way, and so here I can say, select my connection string, and I can pick this one that I created. So this actually, I intentionally did a stupid error because it's kind of very easy to fix. But the idea here is, I didn't show preview. But if I went to that preview list, it would show one file, my web config, right? That's the only file that was changed. And so it's the instant to deploy that change. So now if I go to question. And so now what it's doing, it's pausing for a second, hopefully because it's actually connecting to the database. And now I can go in, I can again ask my question, who shot first, right? And now I can go into option. And I can create a new option, and I can associate it. So it's exactly the same thing that we had locally, but this is deployed. So this hopefully is, showing this pretty handy to be able to test out my application to do a trial deployment. Normally, a lot of the time when I'm developing an application, I find out bugs and problems the first time I actually deploy it. The whole thing about it works on my machine, right? So here is the first time to get it working on another machine. And it was free, and it took, other than that network thing that maybe somebody here is like, streaming video or something, or a lot of us are. But, other than that, it deploys in seconds, usually, and then I'm able to kind of test it out. Yeah, question.
You said free, but didn't your database instance incur, like, some of your credit charges, at least?
Yeah, so that's a really cool feature that we added recently, is you can get a 20-megabyte database for free. So that's enough to, with any website. So that's enough, because we know that's a pain in the neck, right? Any website is going to require some sort of data access. And so we give you that enough to kind of bootstrap it and get you started. And then you can try it out. And then if you want, bigger dedicated server, go ahead and do that, right? So, cool. So that really is the end of that session. So I blew through a whole lot of stuff. We talked about what MVC is, the whole pattern. Instead of requesting files, we're requesting against a method and a controller. And that controller gets some data together, passes it to a view, and then the view is just a templating engine and creates HTML and passes it to the viewer. We talked about how routing is that thing that hooks up the URL and points it at a controller action. And then we did file new project, and we looked at how the files are organized and how that kind of makes some sense. And that's, you know, really helpful because not only is, you know, can I get around my project, but if Mark creates an MVC application and hands it over to me, I'm going to know where his controllers are. I'm going to know how it's organized, right? So it's a common convention everyone can use.
Sorry, got a question.
Where are we
there,
at?
On your right.
There you are.
Yeah. So how does the controller finds the parameter name?
It does that by convention as well. So the parameter name, so for instance, all of these were just using ID. And the default route was ID. And so that's simple enough. Now, I could create another controller action, and I could put in something like a string or something, and it's just going to pass that right along. It's going to say, well, this is the ID, and it's going to pass that as that third field. I can create additional routes also, so I can go through and create a whole lot of other routes, but I don't have to.
But on the view side, like, do I need to save those into the hidden input fields and... So how do I actually pass it?
No, so that's a great question. So the nice thing is because MVC is creating those views and writing out those forms, it is creating things that can map well together. So what I mean is if it creates a form, it knows the IDs and things that it put for all those fields, right? So then when we post back to it, then it just maps those right back up. So it uses conventions again. That's a great question. We have a few minutes, so let me show you. So if I look at the create question view, we'll see that we get we're using a lot of these helpers. So we have an HTML validation summary at the top, which is, of course, going to display any errors. We have label for. And what this label for does is it shows the label that says, question title. But we could change that. So we could use a display annotation in our model, and we could say instead, say, please enter your question here or something, right? Then we have editor for, and that's key, and I'll talk about that more in a second. And then we have validation message for. And validation message, remember we had an attribute that said required. So if I leave something, if I don't fill something in and I try and submit it, let's do that. So if I say create new, and I say create, see it says title field is required, and that's all because of that attribute that marked it as required. And that's AJAX validation, so that's actually done before I even submit it. So that's that validation message. Now, this editor for is important, and what that's doing is it's outputting these field names, excuse me, in the form in a way that MVC can find it again when we post it back in. So I'm going to my tools here. I could just view source, but that would be too easy. So now I'm going to select this item. So if we go to that, and this is, it says, so input, and it has an ID of title. So what's important here is we're going to post this back to the controller, the trivia option controller, and it's going to go back to the create method, and then it's going to say, I'm expecting a trivia option. And so then it just goes down the list. What are the properties in a trivia option? One of those is title. So if there's a form field with the name of title, and I've got a property named title, it just maps those over. Does that answer what you're asking? Great. Okay. Excellent question. Thank you for asking that.